Dear God, I thank you for each person here. I know that you have something for them. Lord, I thank you for walking with us through this process of building this church and helping us to reach this community. Lord, I thank you for the remarkable people here who have sown and given and prayed and served. And Lord, I just pray that we all will rise up and be contributors to your kingdom. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling today that they would experience the comfort of your Holy Spirit, that all of us would find and the leading of your Spirit as we try to make decisions that are best for us and our family and our community. And we just continue to ask for that. We thank you for this incredible promise and this partnership you give us in giving the gift of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, I just ask your blessing on each of us in the name of your Son. Amen. So our starting text this morning is Romans chapter 12, verse 5 through 8. Now, I want you to think about, before I read this, and I would encourage you to look at the outline, and you can fill in it. You don't have to, but no self-respecting child on their birthday or at Christmas or some other event where they get gifts, where there are a bunch of gifts laid out on a table for them, no self-respecting child would just leave those gifts unopened on the table. And yet, I think in the Christian faith, sometimes we're not aware that God has offered us gifts, that he has given us gifts, or sometimes we just don't open them for whatever reason. And so what I want to talk about today, and I have to be brief because I did spend some time on our birthday, is this idea of spiritual gifts. And our starting text is Romans chapter 12, verse 5 through 8. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so I just want to lift out a few ideas when we look at this particular passage and talk a little bit about spiritual gifts. And the first idea is this, that we are one body, that the kingdom of God is one body, not just this local church, but every church in Fairbanks, every church around the world, every Christian ministry, every Christian parachurch, we are one body. See that Romans 12, 5, it says, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I love this image of the body and all the gifts working together, and that's how you make progress. If I were to run across this stage, all the various parts of my body would be working. My legs, my feet, my arms would be pumping. And so, just a side note, if you, I don't run much. If you ever see me run, you should run too. Just a tip. Because there's danger. That I'm just being honest. So, but if I ran across this stage, all the parts are working. Now, what's it look like if a couple of the parts are like, nah, I'll sit this out? Well, that's what disease looks like. And so when the body of Christ has parts that don't contribute, that don't serve, it's like the body of Christ having MS or some other disease that holds us back, that causes problems. And so I want you to get that we are one body, that we move forward together, that we all work together. It is an every member ministry kind of a deal. You know, as a church planter, in the very beginning, I didn't really know anybody. And we move in and we start a church, and guess who was the church treasurer? You want to guess? Me. Now, I did have 2 years of accounting in college. I can do it. But I'm not a detail person, and I hate being the church treasurer. But you can't just hand that off to anybody. You got to be careful. You got to trust them. And I'd just gotten here. So I did it for a while. And that's somebody who was working, operating outside of their gifts. We are one body. We are all to work together so that we can move forward. Everybody does what they're called to do. Everybody does what they're empowered to do. Everybody does what they are gifted to do. It's kind of like, you know, Little League. You remember Little League? Everybody plays. Not just the superstars. Not just the ones that are particularly good at this, whatever this is. Everybody gets to play. Everybody has a ministry. Language matters, and I grew up hearing, and I think we have to watch this, I grew up hearing, oh, so-and-so went into the ministry. Oh, Derek, you're going into the ministry. Let's be careful. I understand what is meant by that. Okay, preaching, teaching, ordained minister, I get that. But let's understand this. There's a lot of ministry that happens in a church, in the body of Christ. There's not the ministry. We're all in the ministry. Every member of the body is a minister. And it may be an upfront kind of thing. It may be a behind the scenes. The simplest things warm my heart and I think cause God to smile. When I walk into this sanctuary, I will look up, and I will often do it, and I'll look up at the boards and the roof. I love that roof. I think it's kind of cool looking. Except somebody tacked up a little stuffed animal over there, so that's kind of odd. But anyway, we don't know which worker did that. I suspect my own sons, but anyway. But I look up at this roof, and I love it because every one of those boards had to be coated with polyurethane. And you know who did that? A bunch of ladies from Chapel Rock Christian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, that I have known my whole life, that flew thousands of miles to come spend a week here to serve the body of Christ, a local church they would never regularly attend, with using their gift of helps. And they painted polyurethane, I don't know, hundreds of boards. We're one body. One body. There are different gifts. When you look at this particular passage, look at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So don't be jealous of somebody else who, oh, they can sing and I can't sing. Bummer. No, God distributes the gifts. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. And you have gifts that I don't have. I have gifts you don't have. That's why we move forward. That's why we go forward together. Scott McKnight, theologian, talks about the church being the fellowship of the different. And we all move forward as we exercise our gifts. I'm not going to wade into it. I don't have time. There is some confusion, even controversy about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, how many gifts are there? If you looked at Dr. Charles Ryrie's book, The Holy Spirit, he would list 14 gifts of the Spirit. If you looked at Dr. Peter Wagner, he lists 27 gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, theologians land in between those. I think, and a lot of theologians think this, that there's a lot of gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in Scripture, but it's kind of an open list. I mean, I would consider worship leading a spiritual gift, but I don't necessarily see that listed in the gift list. I would expect that writing, as a Christian, that writing and having an impact in that way, that could be a spiritual gift. I think there are more than just what's listed. We're given a sample, and so we're to operate in our giftedness. We're to do what God called us to do and operate in that spiritual empowerment. And that's what a gift is, tied to a calling, tied to a ministry. And when we do that, we all move forward well. See, unfortunately, the American church, and let's just be honest here, it's kind of like a football stadium where lots of people are in seats chowing on food, watching some exhausted people down there playing the football game. And most American churches are like that. There's a core that they're operating all kinds of ways and often outside of their giftedness, like me as the treasurer, because nobody's there to do it. But some of us need to get out of our seats and join the team and say, put me in, coach. Let me operate in my area of giftedness. And you're not going to have all the gifts. You're going to have different gifts. And I think sometimes in our culture, we lift up too high as a value balance. Balance can be overrated. I think you should spend most of your time in your area of giftedness, where God has made you the strongest and the best. When you look at the natural world, you see ducks focus on swimming. You see squirrels focus on climbing and jumping. Fish focus on swimming. Eagles focus on flying. What if you start making the eagle take swim class? What if the fish has to take running class? It's look at where God has gifted you and operate in that. And if we all do that, then the body can run forward. Not limp across the stage, but run forward. And so ask yourself, what is your destiny? What does God want you to spend your time on? Let me just give you a few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When I want to emphasize something with my children, I repeat it over and over again, right? Isn't that what you do, those of you who are parents? We saw different. We see it over and over again. God wants us to get this. Don't be jealous of other people's gifts. Whatever God gave you, run with that. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit as he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So he distributes it. Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's a key verse. So those roles, what do? Equip the people. They don't do all the work. They equip the people. I can't work in the nursery. And so understand that all of us have a contribution to make for the kingdom of God. And sometimes it's within these walls and sometimes it's without these walls, but it's for the kingdom. Some of you are foster parents or have done that. That is a profound way to exercise your spiritual gift of mercy. Powerful way. That's not necessarily in these walls, but it's a powerful way that God may put you to good use. So we're one body, we're different gifts. So how do you discover this gift? Because you may be sitting here going, what is my spiritual gift? And I don't think this is exactly the same as our talents. I think God can take a talent and kind of magnify it and enable it and maybe turn it into a spiritual gift, but I don't think it's exactly the same thing. Non-Christian people have lots of talents. And so there's God as creator gives us talents. God as redeemer gives us spiritual gifts. And so it's a divine supernatural enabling. And so how do you discover your gift? Because you may be sitting here going, I don't have any idea what my gift would be. Well, I want you to imagine that you meet with Jesus and he hands you a big bag. And you start, you know, opening the bag. And you're trying to kind of figure out what am I supposed to do? And you look at these gifts or tools that you've been given. And Paul here, he gave me this. And so let's say I open the bag and I'm like, I what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to use these? And maybe I pull this out first and I have no idea what is going on here. I have no idea, no clue. So, but then I get a rope and a helmet, starting to become clear that the gifts that I'm being given are pulling me in a certain direction. I see a harness. I see an ice axe. I see a snow saw. I see an ice nail. I see, this is like if I'm caught under an avalanche. I see crampons. I see a little shovel if I need to shovel out and... So as I start to look at what God has placed in my life, I start to get a sense of the direction I'm supposed to go. So if Jesus gives me a bag full of this, what's my assignment, my immediate assignment? Can you come up with it? Climb a mountain, okay? If it's to do accounting, it would be a different set in the bag, would it not, right? And so you want to start looking at what gifts you think are there. So how do we do this? Well, so you discover your gifts. I think one is, and I put it in your notes, at least I gave you the major gift list. I didn't give you every scripture that I think has a spiritual gift in it, because I think there's a lot more, but at least I gave you kind of the major New Testament list. You can look at those lists. Romans 12 has verses 3 through 8 has a bunch. 1 Corinthians 12 earlier and later, Ephesians 4, 11. And so this gives you a start. You start looking at the list of spiritual gifts. Do any of these, you know, and you can look at books. How do we define these? And, you know, you can ask for guidance. I can sit down and talk to you about some of this. I will tell you, back to the confusion and controversy, there are debates about what some of these gifts are. There are debates about, are all of the gifts available today? I'm not going to wade into all of that this morning. I only have a few minutes. But these are the gifts that are listed. It makes sense to start there, to look at the gifts that are listed. And I would ask God, I've done this, ask God specifically, which gifts have you given me? And I think he will make that clear. Lord, which gifts have you given me? I'm reading through this list. I think you should also think about what kind of work, you know, try some stuff, and what kind of work do you find satisfying? She said I could tell this, but Crystal, who volunteers with the food bank, the other day I was in the lobby and I was studying, and she was doing food bank stuff and thought she was alone in the building. And so she's just singing away. And she came into the lobby, and there I am. She went, oh, and she was just enjoying what she was doing. That's usually a good mark that you're operating in your area of giftedness. I mean, I mentioned the treasurer thing. You know, I did that for a short period at the beginning. Jessica Roberts was our treasurer for the building project, the bulk of the building project. I'll tell you right now, because I had some idea of what was involved in all of that, I would have been in a fetal position moaning somewhere if I had to be the treasurer during this building project. I'm just telling you that. See, we don't all have the same gifts. And so ask God, what are the gifts? Look at where you're energized by serving. Now, every area, every ministry has its bad moments. But where are you energized? Look for that. I give you our website. And if you go to the website, you can click on, there's a little resource. It says resources. Then you can click on spiritual gift assessment. You can take a little test. And it will give you some response on what your spiritual gifts might be. And I have found it pretty accurate with people. I found it pretty accurate with me. I always chuckle because there's certain, you know, because I'll take it every so often. I'll take these gifts. I'll take different spiritual gift tests. And there's certain ones at the top consistently. And then I always laugh because the bottom one, pretty much every time, this has been like 25 years, is mercy. I'm like, really? I can't nudge mercy up. But, you know, but go take the test. If you've never done that, go take the test. There's other ones online as well. And it gives you a little definition for each gift. And like I said, there's some controversy in all of this. But every Christian agree. Every theologian I've ever read agrees that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. That he empowers us to do service. He empowers us to make a contribution. And so I just want you to get that. Now, you try stuff, and then you look for affirmation from mature believers, okay? For instance, if I decided, and it's on no gift list, but if I decided that my newest spiritual gift, that God gave me the spiritual gift of dance, and this morning I just started prancing all over the stage, I can almost guarantee an emergency elders meeting, and I would not be affirmed in my new operation of my gift. Does that make sense? Have you ever watched the beginning of those talent shows where somebody shows up and they sing and they didn't have an honest friend or family member who said, you know, you can't sing? And so you do want the affirmation of the body. And so if you try teaching and children scream and cry the entire time, I mean, give it a couple weeks. Children do that. But try stuff and see if the body affirms your efforts. So the final idea, which this kind of leads us into, so you start looking at what's in your bag, and it gives you this direction that you're living your calling. What is your unique purpose? I give you a list. You know, there's some general purposes in Scripture, some general things that we are called to, and this isn't necessarily exhaustive. There's some basic things to do, you know, like share the gospel, you know, be a witness, there's basics, but how does that play out in your life? See, there's a plan for you. There's a calling for you. I've never counted all the scriptures, but Tom Patterson, the author, says there are more than 1,000 scripture references in the Bible to God's plan for your life. He made you unique. He created your DNA, and he summons you to specific service. Now, it may change over time, but he summons us to specific service. It may be working with kids. It may be visiting prisoners. It may be offering free food to people every Thursday night. It may be cleaning the church building. It may be shoveling the driveway of the person who lives next to you. It may be becoming a big brother or a big sister in that secular program, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, because that still brings honor to Jesus as you build that relationship. It doesn't all have to happen in our four walls here. But live out your calling. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Jeremiah 1:5, he had a very specific calling. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah's specific call, we're all to bring honor to God. His specific call was to be a prophet. Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, he's talking about Saul, who becomes Paul, the apostle, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. See, Saul, who became Paul, had a specific call to be a missionary and go all around the known world sharing the gospel. Acts 13:36 gives a summary statement about King David's life. It says this, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, I love that phrase, when he had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. His purpose, God's purpose for him, was to establish a kingdom. There were certain things he was called to do. So there are these general purposes. We're all to come to repentance. We're all to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're all to glorify God. We're all to, if we're married, we're to love and respect our spouse. If we have children, we're to care for and spiritually train our children. We all are called to keep ourselves pure, to be his witnesses in our Jerusalem, our Judea, and around the world. But how that looks depends on your distinct calling and your distinct gift mix. It's unique, like a fingerprint. Noah was called to build an ark. I would think that would involve the gift of craftsmanship. Moses was called to lead the slaves out of Egypt. And so he had to lead. I mean, it's clearly the gift of leadership, the gift of administration. He had to manage like a million people. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Maybe some engineering, some craftsmanship there. But it doesn't just end with the Bible, folks. You know, William Wilberforce ended slavery in the British Empire. That took leadership, that gift. Mother Teresa called to help the poor and the dying. I think that would be the gift of mercy. And so look for your calling, and your gifts can help point you in the right direction as you begin to discern what they are. And here's my basic posture when it comes to spiritual gifts. I want whatever gift God wants to give me. Whatever gift God wants to give me. And so my conclusion is this. Do something. If you're a Christian, do something for the kingdom of God. I was talking with Kent about the body of Christ, and he has this interesting image of what he thinks the American body of Christ is. He thinks it has tiny little legs, like midget legs, and tiny little hands, and a huge head and a big old mouth. That's what he thinks the American body of Christ looks like. And I get why he thinks that. Make sure we're using the gifts. Make sure we're serving. And we're walking the walk. Walking it out. That we're not just being a consumer, but a contributor. Maybe your gift is hospitality. You could be a greeter. You know, we have a hospitality ministry. It pains me as a preacher to say this, but according to they, whoever they are, I'd love to get on that committee, but according to they who've done the research, the average person makes a decision on whether they're going to come back to a church. When they visit the first time, they make that decision, most people, within 7 minutes. Well, I haven't preached yet. How could you make that decision? So the gift of hospitality is huge. Not necessarily up front, not necessarily on a stage, but it's huge. Let me tell you, after the service, you're going to get the opportunity to go and visit these different ministries, and I hope you will. I hope you'll take a few minutes, have a piece of birthday cake, and walk around, ask some questions, maybe decide to volunteer somewhere, I don't know. But I want you to know every area. I mean, we're a growing body. Every area, literally, we could have had them put up a help wanted sign. Every area, we can use helpers. So I just want to encourage that. I do give you some books, some authors you may want to read for further study on the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. I have just barely scratched the surface. I just kind of wanted to raise this and encourage you to do something. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for each person here. I thank you that for every believer, you have given them gifts. I pray that those would be revealed to them, that you would show them what those gifts are, and that they would operate in the power of those gifts. Lord, I thank you for those who shared the gospel with me and each person here, that they, those that have the gift of evangelism did that. Lord, I thank you for those who have the gift of giving, and they go above and beyond just what we're all called to do, but giving generously and sacrificially and just extravagantly. Lord, I just lift up each person. Give them a clarity about calling and help them to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.